we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday.
April 1945, the Third Reich's 13th hour. Into the blazing rubble of Berlin parachutes a unit of Allied commandos. Their mission, to kidnap Hitler. We present the 13th hour.
Tuesday, April the 24th, 1945.
Major Longlancer, keep your head down, man. Here, I managed to find an old rowboat enmeshed in reeds near the riverbank. Good. How big is it? It's large enough to take about six people, sir. Providing at least two of us keep busy with bailing buckets.
Been knocked about a bit, has it?
Yes, but not too badly. It should get us across.
Is the river definitely the help?
I hope so. At least it should be. Unless every compass in the outfit is broken and we've somehow doubled back on ourselves, it has to be.
Did you see any signs of the Americans on the far side?
No, I saw nothing. Neither Americans nor Germans.
If only we could be sure this is the Elbe.
Well, what do?
We go. Now, five men, all armed for the first trip. I'll take the lead. The rest will stay here with the wounded until we're certain of our ground.
Yes, sir.
Right. Let's get the men moving towards the river.
Hold it steady there.
Sir.
Major Longland, take my hand, sir. I'll pull you in.
Thanks, Grandmiller.
Right. Now, sir. There you go. I said hold it steady. There. Made it.
Well, we can start moving across.
Yes, sir. I'm afraid there aren't any oars, sir. So we've whipped up the seats to use as planks. We'll paddle our way with those.
It's going to be a bit awkward. The men will have to kneel the entire way.
Won't be long, sir. It should take us about 15 minutes to get over. And they've been used to worse.
Yes, so they have. All right.
Let's go. Right, men. Start paddling.
All right, sir.
We're using the helmets as buckets. This tub leaks worse than I thought. We're going to be soaked by the time we've finished.
It's going to take at least four crossings to get everyone across. It'll all have to be done in the open.
With luck, we may be able to do it before sunrise.
Yes. Someone will have to make the round trip if we're to get the boat back. Any volunteers?
I don't like it, but I'll do it.
Thanks, Ben.
And what shall I do after I put you ashore? Shall I wait or start back immediately?
Well, you might as well wait until we've checked it out. If it isn't the Elbe, the others won't be needing the boat.
What if it is the Elbe? But the Yanks have pulled back. What do we do then?
Afraid I can't answer you, man.
It's a distinct possibility. Heaven only knows what might have happened over the past few days. The Germans could have counterattacked. Eisenhower could have ordered the troops to withdraw. Anything.
You've certainly been running blind.
preparing to creep westward for 3 nights, moving only by moonlight. Crowding under dubious shelter by day, constantly in danger.
All those damn patrols. Never seen so many Germans.
I figure they're from General Wenck's 12th Army. Scouting parties and patrols on the alert for the occasional downed Allied airmen.
Or waiting for the order to march east to join the battle against the Russians.
Why, I figure we're probably headed in the right direction, is seeing those ragged strings of frightened civilian refugees.
Oh, sir?
They must be heading west too, same as we are.
Why do you think that, sir? They could be running away from the American and British troops just as easily.
No. If it's a question of surrender, the Germans would rather give in to our boys. They have a mortal dread of the Russians.
So they should have. After what Hitler has done to them.
Something that goes a long way back. Kind of long-standing hatred and fear. It's all been mutual, I suppose. The Germans have referred to the Russians as barbarians for centuries now.
Should be the other way around, I reckon.
Perhaps. Still, it hasn't made our escape any easier. I mean, running into those refugees all the time.
What really hurts me is the way we kept being shot at by our own chaps.
Can't really blame them. Our planes are ranging at will, probably with instructions to shoot at anything that moves.
Can hardly call our flight of moving. We've made excruciatingly slow progress, hobbled by our wounded, short on food and medical supplies.
I know.
And right from the beginning, we were forced out of our meticulously planned escape route.
I'm beginning to wonder how meticulously it was planned.
Yeah, another botch-up by the boys back home. Too happy scribbling at their desks to bother about us. As it is, we've lost another 2 men since leaving the Arval.
Cheer up, Granville. We may be home before long.
We're about to reach the bank, Major Longland, sir.
Well, Granville, I guess this is it. Keep your stand ready to fire.
Them, Granville. They're just using your voice as a locator. They're not shooting wild anymore. Becoming a concentrated fire.
I'm not going to be cut to pieces by one of the loony Yankees. I'm after having saved my skin from Hitler's damn thugs.
Hi, Glenn Miller.
Rita Hayworth.
Oh, damn the Germans.
Babe Ruth. Abe Lincoln. Up the Confederacy.
I say, Granville, how did you manage to do that?
By speaking American. Not too articulate, but they're about the only words they seem to know.
Who are you?
We're a British unit.
Prove it.
How the damn hell do I do that?
For one thing, you can explain why you're wearing those screwball German uniforms.
Hell, I'd forgotten about these things. No wonder the idiot started firing at me.
You there! You might have been decent enough to allow us to identify ourselves before you started shooting.
Still haven't identified yourselves. You better do it pretty quick, Mac.
Our officer just told you. We're English, and we're tired. We don't need harassment from a bunch of damn fools.
You let us come forward and we'll have you on report.
Ah, go hang yourself.
My group is made up of British agents and OSS men. They've all had a hard time and some are badly wounded. I'd appreciate it if you'd stop obstructing us.
Hey, you say OSS?
I did.
I'll get our CO. He'll suck you out. Hang on there.
He's got to be kidding.
About the basis of it, sir. So I'd appreciate your help in getting the rest of my men across the river.
Well, I'll instruct one of my lieutenants to dispatch a crew with rubber boats. And, Major Longland, I wonder, any of your party up to going back with my people? We wouldn't want a repetition of this regrettable shooting incident.
Oh, good thought. I'll send my chap Granville. He's about the best. I can probably find another man to accompany him. Acceptable, Colonel?
Sure, yeah, most grateful. I'll arrange your food and medical treatment.
And transportation, please. It's essential that we get these men back instantly.
Well, I'll do what I can to get them priority transportation to the rear echelon airstrip on the next round-trip Red Ball Express convoy. Satisfactory.
Almost. I'm sorry, sir. I couldn't help yawning. We're bushed.
And, just in case you need to notify anyone that you and your men have made it from, well, wherever you've been, can I give you a lift to the nearest communication center? My jeep is parked up by the road there.
I really don't like to leave until all the men are across.
Well, yeah, I understand, Major.
But there is someone who is probably anxious to hear from me. So I'll accept your offer, Colonel, if I may.
What do you mean? The raid has never happened.
I'm sorry, Longland, but that's the gist of it. The committee has abandoned me completely. I've just come from a hair-raising 40-minute session with the boys at the top.
But it's ludicrous.
The reception you received in Berlin was nothing to the one I got here. Not one of the SFHQ people spoke on my behalf. Whittingdon was particularly nasty. You know how cutting he can be with that quiet, understated manner of his. Never mind that he had unofficially approved of the mission.
The blazes with Whittington!
I can assure you that is exactly how I feel about him at this present moment. To listen to him, you'd have thought I'd acted strictly on my own. As for Holly...
What about him?
The bastard didn't even appear. A British matter, he called it. Oh, glad to do anything to help Mumford, old man, he said. But it wasn't his concern. Washed his hands of it completely. I had the carpet all to myself.
If it weren't for Holly's harebrained scheme of meeting up with one of Hitler's buddies...
So he didn't pitch?
Damn right he didn't pitch.
I'd gone to the session with slightly raised hopes. I must tell you, Longland, that not hearing from you had me down in the dumps. But when I got the message that members of the assault team had reached the American lines, I thought perhaps the whole thing had not been a disaster. That at least we'd be able to figure out what went wrong.
Oh, yes. Perhaps even gear up for another try.
Well, the idea had crossed my mind.
Forget it!
At the time. But the committee dashed my hopes the minute I showed my face. They went on about how the PM was fuming about the whole thing being a political catastrophe.
Political? Most of my men were killed.
They said I was out of my head to have attempted sending an armed party into the heart of Berlin after the Russians had been assured that no such thing was to happen. Whittington even had the nerve to ask me if I was deliberately trying to sabotage relations between the Eastern and Western allies.
I just wish one of them had been on that little trip with me. I'd show them how much of a political catastrophe it was.
Their reaction wasn't unexpected, of course.
What do you mean, Mumford?
Good heavens, man. I'm an experienced enough strategist to know exactly how they'd behave. Just unpleasant to have that knowledge confirmed. Next time, I'll use one of those clever little recording devices that this war has helped to develop. If there's to be a next time, I'll probably be shipped off to Somaliland or the Seychelles or some other hellhole.
Very sorry for you, Mr. Mumford, sir, I'm sure.
I can understand your being bitter, Longland.
Of course I'm bitter. What else would you expect me to be after what's happened?
I know. It was bad enough having to send you off into that wretched situation, and then having to tell you that your sacrifice had been for nothing at all, that you could never speak of it, nor speak of your comrades who had died.
Putting us under house arrest until we'd been debriefed the minute we stepped off the plane. As for those that didn't come back, well, I suppose the excuse is going to be that they all died in traffic accidents in unspecified rural areas.
That's about it, Longland.
And those of us who suffered are to forever hold our tongues or face prison sentences for breach of the Official Secrets Act.
Yes, rather uncivil way to greet men who have risked their lives for king and country, not with awards, but threats.
The whole shoddy business will be nothing but madness. As for this last bit of lunatic conspiracy, it's damn criminal.
I'm sorry, Longland. I really am. But there's nothing I can do about it. That's what the committee has decided. That officially, the raid just never happened.
Sydney, but I did know.
You knew? How? It was supposed to be top secret. Even now, we're all being threatened with prison sentences if we breathe one word of this affair.
Don't worry. I've been ordered to keep my mouth shut, too.
I don't understand.
Don't you see? They were using me, just as they used you and all the rest. Even Mumford.
Mumford? Impossible.
Perhaps him more than any of us. He's the one that's having to bear all the blame, from both their side and yours.
I'm not blaming him,
Anne. You are, and it's unfair.
How can it be unfair? He was the one who thought up the scheme.
No, he didn't. Well, not entirely. And anyway, he wouldn't have had to think it up if it weren't for everyone at the top forcing him to, particularly the committee and the PM. They were all so livid that Eisenhower didn't grab Berlin when he had the chance, instead of leaving it to the Russians.
Then none of them give a damn about the city, or the lives involved. They're all after one thing, our little pal Hitler.
Precisely. And of course they pressurized Mumford into dreaming up some kind of way of accomplishing it. In the beginning it seemed an excellent plan. We were all so sure it would succeed. It was dreadful when we started suspecting something had gone wrong. None of us could sleep.
Were you really that cut up about it, Anne?
What do you think? Having to sit around and wait without any news? Not a peep. Only a great black silence. It was horrible. And all the time we kept getting news of how the Russians were advancing on the city. That they were devouring it, suburb by suburb.
The thing is, whether you were concerned for my sake or for Bascom's.
Sydney, that's mean of you.
Aye, but you have to admit that it's true. Well, partly anyway. You kept seeing an awful lot of him before. I am most awfully sorry.
So you should be. Oh, what's the use of apologizing? He's...
How did you know?
About the raid?
No. About him.
Through Norman.
Norman? Oh, of course. The colonel who makes tea at the office.
He does a darn sight more than that. You really are being rather beastly, Sidney.
I'd say I'm sorry, but you've already asked what's the use.
Forget it.
Anne.
I said forget it, Sidney.
Oh, all right. What about Norman, anyway?
I guess he knows quite a bit about my being involved with you and Henry Bascom.
Ouch.
Mumford kept quiet about the coded list of survivors we received. Preparation for the committee's ban, I suppose.
I can imagine the joy on hearing from me.
You needn't be sarcastic, Sidney. We were immensely relieved. Naturally, we felt a certain amount of disappointment about your not having been successful, but...
A little less of the you, please. We were not successful. Mumford, the committee, everyone involved. Even if they all want to wash their hands of the business.
Mumford remained silent. Didn't mention you'd sent the message. Didn't say a word about Bascom's name not being on the list. But Norman, fortunately, is a bit of an incurable romantic. He sneaked to look for me.
It's astounding. The centre of British intelligence, where everyone's supposed to keep their mouth shut. And here they are, gossiping like washerwomen. It's a wonder the Germans weren't informed of our arrival before we set off for Berlin.
I was deliberately informed. It was part of Mumford's plan.
Plan?
I was to appear as though I'd somehow acquired some knowledge of the raid. Mumford knew of my feet. That is, my involvement with Bascom.
You do care for him. More than you do for me.
Oh, Sidney. So what if I do? So what if I happen to be fond of half the men I meet? You all disappear soon enough.
There's a war on.
What do you think I meant? Under these circumstances, you can't blame me for not remaining loyal to one fellow at a time. And I am loyal. In my own way. Anyhow, I leaked the news of that raid to poor Bascom, who inevitably did the same to Holly. Of course, Mumford wasn't so bold as to state it that way. He didn't know I knew exactly why I was to be made aware of the raid. So you see, Sidney, we're all being used.
And you accept it? Just like that?
Oh, I don't know if I do. But I don't feel angry about it. And I certainly don't blame Mumford for everything, as you were doing.
Hey, Anne. That's not being fair. I wasn't saying the thing was entirely...
You were. Or at least you were implying it.
It's this rotten matter of having to shut up about it all. That really has got me.
We all feel the same way. Norman, myself, Mumford.
Particularly after what we went through. It's a miracle any of us got out alive. I lost over 50 men. Some of them probably died hideously.
And Bascom? What about him? How did he die?
We could be wrong, Anne. We're only presuming he died.
What about the rest of those men missing from the list? Are they all presumed to have survived?
No, of course not. It's merely that some of them may have had a chance. But they might not all be dead.
Sidney, be honest. I know I'm supposed to be nothing more than Mumford's pretty little dumb chauffeur, but you were there, in Berlin itself. You saw what it was like. Having to hide from the Germans while the British and Americans kept bombing the place and the Russians moving in all the time. What do you think?
Anne?
How much chance would an Allied soldier have? How likely is it that Bascom may have survived? Will continue to survive? Well? Sidney?
Anne, I'm afraid you... You're going to have to give up any hope of seeing Bascom again. There's no way a foreigner could last in a place like that. Especially when he's on the run.
have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world. Best Sellers is brought to you every Monday to Friday on Springbok Radio at 9 p.m. John Lee's dramatic novel, The 13th Hour, is adapted for radio by John Cavigia and produced by Andre Bortman.